Meeting on the company executive board of directors. It is April 15th, 2025, here in the wonderful meeting to order, Director Harris.
Here.
Director Meehan. Director Ball.
Here.
Director Meehan. And Director Meehan. We're going to hear about our manager.
Let's see.
And our fire chief.
Is it like it's. We will start with my members of the board.
Because you're doing your job.
I'm just doing my job. Well, the IGK fire marshal work. I'm a firefighter doing fire chief work.
Although seems to be working well, I'm taking another whack at this. This is a broken record, but I'm very interested in field management. I have a whole discussion about that. And that was it, as it generally is, step number 7C, which seems to be something like my theory, maybe wrap up this evening. We'll get to it if things go as they usually do. And I'd like to make a plea for getting this moved up earlier in the agenda. I just had a conversation with Mary about this, and I didn't see any administrative reason from her why this shouldn't be if the board and she and everybody agrees that it should come earlier. That way I wouldn't have to sit here and through all of the other things, which are truly fascinating. But they tend to be repetitive. Can we please go ahead and make this happen?
Thank you. Thank you for your comment. If you want to.
Just to let you know, in the EPC, we have a subcommittee that is focused on hazardous vegetation along evacuation routes in Kensington. We are currently meeting a couple times to set forth our work process in finding areas that need attention, and then preparing that and then hopefully giving that information to the appropriate people so that the city, if it's county that is responsible for it, then we can give that information to the county. If it's property that we can approach, they will pursue that avenue as well. So I know it's not in that ad hoc committee, but the EPC has a subcommittee that is actively working on hazardous vegetation for evacuation.
Okay, good to know. You actually mentioned that before, and so good to be reminded.
Our EPC meetings are the fourth Thursday. Our EPC meetings are the fourth Thursday.
Okay.
Other public comments in the room? If you want online, Paul Dorr, please do that.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes.
We can't hear you. There is a lot of echo on the line. We can hardly make sense out of what you're saying. But I do have a question too. So
yes.
I was wondering if there was a way to get the number for approximately how much was the cost of putting the retaining wall on the back of the fire building. PBS during the remodeling project.
To my knowledge, the retaining wall at the back of the PSB was in
existing.
Yeah. So I think the last time that retaining wall was put in was probably 1970. I couldn't guess what the price was then. It was probably 3 feet.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you at all.
So, Rick, can you mute yourself?
But that's okay. I don't want to take too much.
Yeah. I have not joined the audit. I'm not connected to the audio. Yeah, I'm sorry. No, fine.
Can you hear us now?
I can hear you, yes.
No, it's not connected.
It isn't the audio.
Yeah, it just didn't even join the Zoom audio.
I can't leave the audio. That's avoiding all.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, because it's the sound.
Can't hear her.
Can you hear us now?
No. Can hear you, but it breaks up. Sorry, Daniel.
We can hear you, but it's unintelligible. All the audio that's coming out of the main room, it's blending together like you're in a very vaulted, echoey, tiled bathroom.
Perfect description.
My Zoom shows that Daniel's computer is not muted. Now Daniel's is muted. Rick's is not muted. Now, yeah. Now you're connected. Now mute. Now try. Is it working better now?
Is this any better?
No, not yet.
No.
With her computer because it was come from her side.
Did you just unmute your computer again?
I left the audio again since joining and muting versus leaving. When you're not connected to the audio, you do not have a echo. Because you are not.
I didn't understand.
If you look at the participants on your host, who is muted? Can you mute Rick here?
Is it on your? It's on hers.
Yeah. So I don't think you can mute them if they haven't joined up.
Check the audio source.
No, that was very clear what you just said, Daniel.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, here you go. There's your problem. That's it. Yeah.
Great. How about now?
That sounds much better.
Great. Where were we? There was no work done to the retaining wall at the back of the PSB as part of the remodel this year. So the retaining wall is from the original build in 1970, presumably.
And can you tell me what was the approximate cost of the excavation that was done prior to starting the renovation?
You mean the pier, the piers under the building?
For on the fault line.
I don't know your question. I'm sorry. Which
seismic testing?
Yeah, the seismic testing that was done.
Oh, the cost of the trenching. I have no idea what the cost of the trenching was. Yes, the work that was done. Yeah, I guess probably back in like 2018 or.
Yeah.
Right. Correct.
Oh yeah, they didn't do the trenching.
The only trenching that was done for the public safety building before it was built was done in the late 1960s in a Woodward Clyde report. I don't know of any other trenches.
The seismic report that came out in 2018, there wasn't trenching associated with that. That was.
It's a seismic line that they did seismic and they did GPR, and there were three lines that went across, but there was no excavation involved in that study. They had originally proposed to do a trench, but because they couldn't clear, it wasn't long enough to clear the property all the way to the border, because otherwise you'd have to trench in the back neighbor's yard. They couldn't do that. So they did the geophysical study instead, and the geophysical study showed the geologic discontinuity, and from there they had to do the 50-foot setback.
And for reference, GPR that Director Mduga mentioned is ground penetrating radar.
So
all right.
approximately what was the cost of that study?
Couldn't possibly tell you. Sorry.
I'm trying to figure out how much it's going to cost to find out whether it's feasible for us to bring the police department back to 219. And, you know, what obviously they would have to do some excavation or drenching back there. So I thought maybe you have some idea of what the cost would be.
And in brief, we don't have any direct experience with that. Go for it.
Okay. The KPPCSD just did a trenching study in the park, and that was around $60,000. But sure. That is a site that you had very ease of access. You had no buildings in the way. You had enough room to dig the trench and put the spoils the appropriate and safe and mandated amount of distance back from the excavation. So if you trench the 219, you have access issues already. Imagine getting a backhoe back there.
Yeah. The short answer, unfortunately, to your question is this board does not have any direct experience with trenching at that site. If you want to know how much that costs, you should ask the police board to get a quote for that. Because we
And I appreciate it. I thought that you might have an estimate of what it costs on the back, but I was wrong. Thank you very much.
No problem. Thank you. Any other public comment? I have a brief director comment that I don't know if it's out of order or not, but I'll mention it anyway because it was a public comment I received from Alan Siegel in question with the East Bay Wildfire Coalition that the chief attends. We had discussed that last May, I think, about whether or not we wanted a Kensington director to represent from that. And we, at that time, took no action. So my question is just to the board, should we bring that item per an agenda back to rediscuss that again? Or are we fine with it?
Is there any more new information?
I'm trying to not have a discussion that isn't on the agenda. Yeah. The question is, do we want an agenda item about this in the future?
Yes, I think we should. People want us involved. So that,
okay.
I think, okay.
We'll schedule an agenda item for that for May. Forgot what month it was. All right. Jim, you had a public comment?
Jim, your audio is not working.
You say they can't hear you. Is your microphone on? Oh, your button's not pushed.
A few days ago, I sent a letter to the KPPCSD as a private citizen, not as a member of this board, expressing my request that they take a close look at, I think it's, what is it, 219 Arlington, the location immediately south of the public safety building as a possible location for the police department. And I sent them a letter. And if you want, I can read you that so that you know what it is I'm asking for. But is that all right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Please consider these comments and suggestions in connection with your closed session meeting on April 16th. At a previous KPPCSD meeting, the board decided to delay a decision on a new police station in Kensington Park until after the merger of the two boards, now estimated for September 2025. This park location was estimated to cost almost $10 million by MAC-5, not including architectural, county permitting, oversight during construction, and financing. In the meantime, a rare opportunity has occurred because the home adjacent to the PSB is now listed for $795,000. This two-bedroom, one-bath home with a downstairs work area and bath might sell for somewhat more but probably for less than $1 million. If acquired and torn down, a single level 2,000 square foot police station could be built with parking on the upper level for 4+ cars. There is about 1,000 square feet of adjacent space on the first floor of the PSB that could be used for additional, administrative personnel. The estimated costs would include $1 million for property purchase, $1 million for removing the house, widening the second level access drive, and adding a retaining wall for the back parking area. The attached, and I attached some costs for the PSB, indicate that the two-story, 6,200 square foot public safety building was built starting with only three sides and requiring amenities such as a kitchen, two baths, and three bedrooms. The cost came in at $1,376 per square foot. Assuming that the police station could be built at costs of $1,500, this would add an additional $3 million. That would bring the total cost to $5 million, perhaps $7 million less than the building in the park. The KPPCSD could offer $1 million for the purchase subject to an acceptable seismic evaluation study to be completed within 3 months. As an alternative, they could offer $850,000 with no conditions and resell the property if a seismic fault is discovered.
Great. Thank you for your comment. Any other one? All right, moving on to the adoption of consent items. Items listed on the agenda, this agenda item are considered routine by the Board of Directors and will be enacted by one motion. If anyone would like to remove an item from the consent calendar for discussion, that item will be removed and will be discussed and voted on separately. Would anyone like to remove an item from the consent calendar? Seeing none, do I have a motion to adopt the consent calendar?
Motion to adopt the consent calendar.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Fire Chief's report. Chief Sailors.
Good evening, President and Directors. I'm Eric Sailors, your Fire Chief. With our report for last month, starting with operations, we had some substantial windstorms and sometimes they pull apart roofs and sheds. And just an example of that, in one of the reports, we had an incident where a roof got blown up into a tree. And our firefighters, their priorities are your life and your property. So seeing this roof stuck up in the tree, they figured out a way to get it down to make sure that it didn't fall on anybody else that was going by. And it just elaborates their skill sets to be able to figure out tough problems when things like this happen, not necessarily what they're trained for, but they figured out how to make sure that nobody got crushed by a roof after it came out of a tree. On the training side, we are always making sure that our firefighters know the job above and below them in case of an emergency they have to fill in those positions. And we started training our new firefighters for the position of engineer last month, which is pretty intensive training because the engineer position has to do multiple calculations in their head as they figure out what pressure to pump a particular hose at, depending on its diameter, its length, the nozzle, the elevation that it's going to, and they have to do this for multiple hoses at once. It takes us a few weeks to get our firefighters trained up to do that, but we started last month, and soon our firefighters will be signed off to be engineers in case of an emergency. We also test all of our hose every year to make sure that it doesn't fail, usually up to about 300 PSI for our attack lines. When hoses start to fail, it'll bubble up and burst during the testing process. We'll replace it out, but the last thing we want to have is that hose burst while we're inside a house fire and leave us high and dry inside a fire. Public outreach, we visited another school. And this is a routine experience for us, and I'll continue to talk about this as we do this, but this is typically children's first exposure to the fire service. This action came out of a report in the 1970s called America Burning, when the nation realized that it had the worst industrial fire problem in the world. And its recommendations were public outreach and education as a large part of that report. So the fire service has been following up with that continuously since then. And we will try and reach out to children at an early age to teach them what to do when their house catches on fire, how to get out, what things to try to avoid in their household, and then ultimately what we look like and sound like when we come in to find them. Because that is our first priority when we arrive on a house fire, is to get inside and search it. And children have a tendency to hide underneath beds and in closets. We know to go there first, but we also look pretty scary and we sound pretty scary on our SCBAs. So this is us teaching them what we look like and what we sound like, and to come to us when we come find them, because we will come find them and we'll get them out of the house fire. That is the end of report, as best I could, for your agenda tonight. Do you have any questions for me? Yes, sir.
What age are the children that you engage with?
So I'm looking right here. This is grammar school. And it'll range from kindergarten to fifth grade is usually where we target. Fifth graders start to lose interest. But we're really looking for the young kids when they're in the beginning of their brain development. And they're the ones that will tend to hide during fires.
You've also done preschools.
We have done preschools. Yes, I think we will talk to any child that we have the opportunity to educate. Yeah.
Thank you, Chief.
Directors, thank you.
Oh, all right, sorry. Public comment? Yeah, go for it.
Oh, one last question. I'm sorry. There was a public seminar on the upcoming regulation for the Zone Zero this last week. I know they sought out public comment. I can't remember what it's called for the new regulations coming out for Zone Zero. By any chance, did anyone attend that, or that was really just more for the public to?
It was for the public. So the day we actually had an alarm on my calendar, the day that the draft for Zone Zero was issued, they did kick it out that day. Chase and I received it immediately and started reviewing it. And we're using that as our model code for the ordinance that will come out with our maps. So our maps have to be adopted through ordinance. And with that, we'll also adopt some ordinance to direct Zone Zero. Yeah. And the regulations were not bad. They're actually pretty well written, and it was favorable for the property owners. I think it was a realistic way to administer Zone Zero, because to adopt an ordinance is one thing, but to actually enforce it is an entirely different thing that it sometimes can be impossible. But I think they made the right choices in the draft.
Thank you.
Great. General Manager's report.
Good evening. The report is for March and the first part of April. That's a typo in the report. With the reorganization with KPPCSD, the documents have been submitted. LAFCO has initiated their notification process. I included some documents as well in the packet that kind of show the steps that they're going through. We got an additional notification today where they're sending out the documents to local agencies, the assessor, auditor, controller, conservation development department, county administrative office, elections office, surveyor, and environmental health. So I'll provide that to all of you. It's just looking for, you know, responses from any of them if they have any. The final audit, you know, was done last month, so we completed our continuing annual disclosure that's related to the public safety building lease financing. NHA does that for us. We completed that. The temporary fire station decommission, we have that later on the agenda, so I'll discuss that in greater detail there. Okay. Happy to answer any questions.
Directors, any questions?
I had a question about your is page 11, where you indicate the costs by various categories. And there's a Mahjong cost there. I noticed that it is for, however, for the months of August and September for last year of $19,000. And my question is this the last that we're going to be paying to Mahjong?
Oh, so that was on the consent item for the bills and yeah. And so, yeah, those were actually from September and August. They were payments that we did not, they didn't receive them because they were lost in the mail. I think that there was one other invoice that they're asking about, which could be the same case. So it might be, but other than that, there aren't any others.
Great. Public comment? And on the Zoom? All right, seeing none. Thanks, Mary. Johnny, go for it.
Okay, I'm just waiting for the screen share.
Can you...
One moment.
Oh, I see.
Okay. This is the Emergency Preparedness Coordinator's Report for April 2025. Paper shredding event is coming up on Saturday, May 3rd from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. This will happen in the north parking lot of the Unitarian Universalist Church at 1 Lawson Road. There will not be a pharmaceutical collection during this event. While the paper shredding event is happening, we will be recognizing Wildfire Community Preparedness Day. I'll set up a booth at the shredding event, and the FireWise leads will be present with me to interact with each other and answer questions from the public about FireWise and speak to their experiences so far, as there's, you know, four very active FireWise communities. Alan Siegel will be hosting a guided tour through Wildcat FireWise, which will start at the booth during the shredding event. This guided Wildcat Wooey Walk will be about an hour, and there will be two sessions. One will start at 10 a.m. and the next one will be at 11 a.m. Alan will discuss some main points about what it's like living on the wildland urban interface and being neighbors with the East Bay Regional Park District. Alan will talk about some key points about projects that have been accomplished, especially the work done in partnership with the East Bay Parks. This will be a great opportunity for many residents that don't have much exposure to the ridgetop and have yet to experience and hear firsthand from Alan about what all that's being done in Wildcat FireWise. Red Oak Realty is hosting a series of emergency preparedness events at their office down on Fairmont Avenue. I'll be the first presenter on April 29th to talk about some of the initiatives and emergency preparedness tips for Kensington residents. This will be on Tuesday, April 29th from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at 7502 Fairmont Avenue in El Cerrito. On Saturday, May 3rd, Saturday, May 3rd from 10 to 11:30 a.m., Alameda County Fire's CERT program manager will be discussing creating a household emergency plan. And on Thursday, May 8th from 6 to 7:30 p.m., Interim Assistant Chief of Berkeley Fire Colin Arnold will be discussing living in a fire landscape. I'm sorry, did somebody say something? No. Living in a fire landscape, actions residents should take for hardening their homes. The Fire Plug Spring Edition has been printed and it's in the mail this week. Take a look inside. It has a lot of very valuable information related to Zone Zero and home hardening tips. There's also information about hazardous plants, a few photos from the fire station, and an article about FireWise development in Kensington. And here's an update on the hazardous vegetation removal reimbursement grant program. I wanted to share a few photos of one of the projects. This project is a bamboo removal project. You can see here the bamboo was growing along a wooden fence between two homes. The contractor cut the bamboo and removed the roots from along the fence and in between the paving stones. So you can see he was digging them out, which is, it's pretty hard to do. If anyone's ever had to remove bamboo roots, it's a lot of hard work. So here is the before and the after shot. Of course, the after shot is very bright, very crisp, looks a lot happier. And so we have 32 projects completed so far, and $46,217.43 reimbursed value, and take that unneeded text out. And the we have multiple inquiries asking for a second round of this grant. So just an FYI. So I put up a little form on the website where the grant information is for people to register their email address to learn more about future opportunities. And we already have two people that responded since I put that up there. So some news on Kensington Firewise. Kensington's fifth Firewise has received national recognition. Shakespeare Cluster Firewise, which is Avon Road and some surrounding streets, received recognition earlier this month. And at the end of March, neighbors on Beloit gathered to conduct their Firewise risk assessment walk with Chief Beckman. The Beloit Firewise community will soon submit their application for national recognition. This Firewise area will connect to Redtail Ridge and Tilden Firewise along the border with Berkeley. And then Highland Kenyon Firewise conducted their Firewise risk assessment walk the same day as Beloit Firewise did. And as you can see from the photos, it was well attended. Residents are really eager to learn more about how to protect their homes and their neighbors. Maybeck Firewise hosted Diablo Fire Safe Council's home hardening workshop late last month as well. Residents from Maybeck Firewise learned about the specific materials and strategies to protect their homes. This presentation was conducted by Cheryl Drinkwater from Diablo Fire Safe Council and Chief Beckman. It was also really well attended. This presentation is given exclusively to Firewise communities, and some of our recognized Firewise communities will soon be hosting the same presentation to their Firewise neighbors as well. So thank you to Cheryl Drinkwater of Diablo Fire Safe Council for providing this service, and to the Kensington residents that are working to get this message out to their neighbors. And that concludes my report. I'm happy to take any questions, or you can reach me at prepare@kensingtonfire.org.
Thanks very much, Johnny. Directors.
Yeah, I just want to make a comment that Alan Siegel gave me a tour of the ridge, and I highly recommend going on one of his tours. His knowledge is extensive, and it was really illuminating for me.
I'll also add, since we talked about what's coming next for the wildfire program, I had a meeting with representatives from Senator Aragreen's office to sort of discuss issues in Kensington and around Kensington. Our new senator is very keen to promote fire safety and preparedness things. And when I mentioned this particular grant, they were very excited by that. And they seemed like there was some indication that they might be able to help supplement with the most important thing in the world, money, those efforts perhaps in the future. So I don't know if it actually will come to fruition, but they definitely latched on to the hazardous vegetation grant removal as a thing that they were interested in. Public comment on the Zoom. All right, thanks, Johnny. Well, I think we could probably get to the item really, really quickly if we went through the regular order of business, since we're going so well. Jim, are you prepared to give your update that you had for the end now? it's okay if not. If you have to, you shouldn't have to do anything.
Point of order, are we allowed to just take the committee reports section and move them in front of old business?
We can do anything we want. The agenda is whatever. But we can take the items out of order at any point. So if you're ready to do your report, then you just make things more complicated when Rachel has to go write the minutes.
I'll begin by talking about what is being done along the ridge line, the Yale School Trail. So far, if you've walked that trail, you have seen that they have removed some vegetation up at the end of Grizzly Peak and down at the back behind the school.
It's on, it's just close to your phone.
It's too close?
No, I'm close enough.
Oh, okay. And so they have, so far they have removed vegetation at the end of Grizzly Peak and behind the school. They've worked a little way up the hill from the school, but not very far. I did hear from somebody working there that they may not do much more than that. But I have heard from the top management that it was their intention to complete their work from one end at Grizzly Peak down to the school. So we will see what will happen, because their plan was to do it sometime between April and May, and hopefully that they do considerably more thinning out. So that is with respect to that particular issue. We are also scheduled for a meeting with, remember I have this memory loss for names, with, from Contra Costa County.
Reinhardt?
Sorry.
John Gioia?
Yes. John Gioia. I'm sorry. John Gioia in May. I believe it's May 10th. I will send all of you the time so that if you want to attend, I think you're aware of it, are you not? With John Gioia. John Gioia is going to meet with us.
Who's us, first off?
I believe it's from 10:30 to 11 on, I believe it's May 10th, at the end of Grizzly Peak, and he is primarily coming so that we can look at the other thing that we have been working on, which is the ability to provide better access routes for our emergency vehicles in the event of a serious fire coming out of Tilden Park. So he will be coming with some of his staff to look at some of the things that they might be willing to consider doing to provide a better means of access to the park. So, yes, if I didn't send her about this.
Who's the us?
Tomorrow morning, how's that?
Who you said meeting with us. Who's us?
Well, remember, we established an ad hoc committee. I started this.
Mm-hmm.
He has been communicating with me, but anybody who would like to also attend may attend, and I will inform you of the time and the date tomorrow.
Okay. The concern here would be a Brown Act situation, because the board can't meet and talk about business without, so just to clarify, Rick, are you looped in on this?
First, I heard of it, but I may be able to.
Okay. And second, and perhaps most importantly, Chief, is this the first time you're hearing of this?
Today is the first time I've heard of it. Right now is the second time I've heard of it, because I talked to Gioia earlier today.
Ah. Will you be in attendance at this meeting, or a representative from the fire department?
I requested to be attendance at this meeting, and I also requested Chief Gancast be there as well. So Joya's assistant said he's going to send me an invite.
Gotcha.
But I did not know the date or the time, so this is the first time I've heard the date or the time.
Okay. Well, great. As long as someone representing from the fire department is involved in those discussions, then I'm comfortable with it. And if Rick is available as part of that ad hoc committee.
Time matters.
Let Rick know the time. and we'll go from there. Okay. Is that all? Okay. Public comment?
So, as I mentioned several times before, I routinely walk both sides of Wildcat Canyon almost daily. So along the school trail on the Kensington side and along Nimitz Way. And I also drive Grizzly Peak and Fish Ranch Road, and I consider myself a pretty active observer of the fuel management clearance that's going on in multiple locations. A comment on what's going on right now along the school trail, for those of you who haven't been up there recently, my observation is that fuel management goes happens sort of in three phases. Phase number one is the brush, the low lying, you know, the poison oak and the low lying stuff. That gets cleared and put into piles. I'm not quite sure what happens to the piles, whether they're burned off or whether they're hauled off. But that's number one. Number two is limbing on the trees to get rid of the low-lying branches and greenery that's you know, attached to the trees. And the third, obviously, is for these eucalyptus trees and firebrand Monterey pines to cut down the trees themselves. And you see this going on in various phases. On the school trail right now is a little bit, what I would consider a little bit of brush clearing. It's not nothing. We can't say that they're not paying attention at all, but it's really minimal. I think it came to a complete stop during the rainy season because the school trail gets impossibly muddy. You can't really get through there and expect them to be continuing their work. But not much has happened. And this continues to frustrate me when I think we have two avenues that we could use to continue the momentum. Number one is we have Elizabeth Eccles. She's our elected official from Ward 1 of the East Bay Parks District. We could invite her here to a board meeting or to a public meeting to address our concerns. This would be very natural. And I think she would be quite willing to do it. She lives very close by in Berkeley. She could come in an evening such as this. This would not be a great imposition, but it requires an invitation. And I would.
I have.
You've tried.
And she just didn't respond. You could try again.
Okay. So number two is, failing that, we can take the initiative. Jim and I went to a Park Service meeting. Now we have a committee. We could simply announce that we want to come down, the two members of the committee. I would love to join, any member of the public could, to talk to them on their turf about these problems. But conversation needs to go on now in concerning how this is going to go on. I don't think Wildcat Canyon has been cleared of its built-up fuel since 1936, when the park was established, if even then. I think there's 100 years of undergrowth in that canyon. And Berkeley's recognizing this and working on it in multiple locations. As I mentioned before, Ajax Place, if those of you know where that is, it's sort of on the golf course road, is, you know, there's great swaths of clearing that's taken place there. I see a nod. Along Fish Ranch Road, there's a huge amount of clearing along Fish Ranch Road. And I'm not entirely sure that that's the park. Maybe that's East Bay Mud or somehow, you know, contracting between them. But the fact of the matter is that clearing has and can take place, and it's not here in our backyard.
Thank you. Any other comments on the Zoom? One other thing that I'll bring up, since it's related to this, also in my discussion with the people from the senator's office, we were talking about the LRA versus SRA distinction on our border, and they were very confused that City of Richmond has any LRA back there. And I said, well, they do. And they said, I wonder if we can work with Richmond and see if they'd be willing to detach that from the Richmond and give it to the park. I don't know. They were very like, oh, this seems easy. I'm like, that does not sound even remotely easy to me, but if you think that sounds easy, then great. Oh yeah, sorry, this SRA is the state responsibility area. So that's areas where it's not part of a city, and so it's the state's duty to take care of it. So most of our border with East Bay Regional Park is state responsibility area. There is a single parcel that is mostly behind the school and at that top edge of Kensington there, that's technically Richmond, City of Richmond. So it's the local responsibility area, LRA, of Richmond. So Richmond's in principle responsible for mitigating hazards in that area, and East Bay Regional Parks District shouldn't be going in there.
Didn't know the acronyms, but that Alan Siegel did show me that stuff on his tour.
So I have no idea if anything's going to come from that either, but some folks seem to think that City of Richmond will be very happy to unown some parcels and give them to East Bay Regional Park. We'll see. Anyone else have any comments on Jim's report? Rick, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I haven't asked Patrick what the next step is after this. This work was expedited in the context of the work plan and the area for it that they had going, right? So I think everyone recalls they came and talked to us about where they are and are not allowed to do what kinds of work, and accelerated the path into that area and were able to get on the school ground, which was not technically part of it, through a relationship with the school, and do quite a large amount of work. I realize in the scheme of major tree removal, but there's brush that was back there from when we were kids at Hilltop. And there's a lot of stuff that's been hauled out and turned into clumps of brush for charring or further hauling. I think the question is, what in this multi-decadal work plan that they have is their next step? Because we're proceeding under a highly regulated work plan. And they clearly have some flexibility in that regard, but I think we've gotten a lot of mileage, thanks to both of you actually, out of just asking politely, what can you do? I did that as well, and the answers have been consistent and with some nudging productive. So I would just say, it's worth asking the question. And I think we know who to ask. It's the people who are continually getting the work done on our behalf. So I would just say that's, and if it means going to a meeting and asking again, but I would start by saying thank you, because I'm very happy that they got in there. They were up behind my house pruning up the trees, taking some great care, noting where they are not going to let the goats because they're creating slide zones, and actually just paying some attention. I appreciate the hell out of this, frankly. And so what are they able to do next? Because there are strong limits on what they can do. And then what are they planning on doing next? Would be good to know before we go raising total hell.
I have a comment.
You go for it.
Kind of along those lines, if you do plan to go and ask for something else, now that you they are through this part of the plan, I was wondering if you would ask, if you thought this was okay, for them to take out all of the eucalyptus just north of Little Farm, which I've heard was a former, it was planted for furniture that unfortunately was the wrong bamboo, I mean the wrong eucalyptus, and so now we have this eucalyptus, because that is a major ember cast that I'm concerned about when it comes to a red flag warning day. So just a thought. I know my neighbors have asked me about it, in addition to, of course, you know, things along our boundary. That's another big fire hazard staring at us.
What I can say is that particular area and a couple of others, you guys may know more than I do on this, but it was extensively written up in terms of what they were and weren't going to do for that grove in their
I don't even know what they call it now. It's been a while since I read it, in that many hundred page document that is their master work plan. And there was a what seemed to me like a tremendous public debate over people who didn't want anything done and people who wanted. I mean,
I will say that they did do the underbrush of the eucalyptus in there. I did see that, but.
But where they prioritized large stands of eucalyptus for removal. And I think the park showed a big chunk of that work happening last year. I don't know where this sits in it. It's probably in that massive document. I'll dig it up again and share it. And yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Returning to regular order, requested approval of Kensington Community Center audiovisual recommendation.
As you recall, we talked about this last month and have a bit more information since then. David Aranda, the interim general manager for KPPCSD, and I coordinated and worked on a reasonable budget for the improvements to make here. We talked about the goal being to improve the internet connectivity, meeting streaming quality, and mitigating the small meeting room AV issues. With the infrastructure improvements and the small meeting room equipment and some cabling that would need to be done, we came up with a not to exceed amount of $10,000. That would get us the small meeting room equipment, reposition the wireless so that those meeting rooms will have better connectivity. And they believe that the cabling and wiring will improve the Wi-Fi performance. We looked at working with City of San Pablo IT. That's who KPPCSD works with currently for their IT services. They contract with them. And so we're looking to centralize things through the City of San Pablo's IT department. They have given us a quote for staffing, assisting with meetings of 150 an hour, and we currently are paying significantly higher rates. So we are, David communicated with San Pablo that they will be using them beginning July 1st. So we'll be making that change. So it will save us a little bit of money on our IT services, but the improvements could also save us by making things a little more simplified. So I'm looking for approval for the general manager to proceed with audiovisual recommendations to the community center in coordination with KPPC interim general manager for network infrastructure and meeting room equipment, and to make this budget adjustment for the costs not to exceed $10,000 to be cost shared with KPPCSD.
And that was my question for clarification. That $10,000 is the total amount, not for each
yes.
district.
Yeah.
Okay. Directors.
I personally think it's really important that we have good audiovisual infrastructure, because so many people connect to these meetings, and it kind of just essential to our connection to the community that this stuff works well. And we've all had frustrations with that. So I really think this sounds like a sound approach to the problems we've had.
Well. Is there a motion?
Okay, I moved that we recommend that the board consider, but wait, sorry. We authorize the general manager to proceed with audiovisual staff recommendations. Audiovisual recommendations for the community center in coordination with the KPPCSD interim general manager for network infrastructure and meeting room equipment, and to make this budget adjustment for the installation and equipment in an amount not to exceed $10,000 to be cost shared with the KPPCSD.
I second that.
Public comment on the Zoom, if you can hear us. Great. Seeing none. All in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Next, paths. Item 6A. Rodney, would you like to briefly summarize the situation?
Yes, I'm very happy to do that. So First of all, I'll just say I've been working on the paths for a long time, and I am a member of the Kensington Pathkeepers. We have been talking to the KPPCSD, and we presented to them at their March meeting. It was a very in-depth presentation that both Supervisor Joy and I did, and there was a proposal on the table for the county to provide $175,000 for maintenance and minor repairs to the paths, also some signage, and addressing a couple of issues on the paths. And at that KPPCSD meeting, they voted 5-0 to direct their general manager to take the this proposal to the next steps. And this would be moving towards public acquisition of three of the paths. We refer to them as Ardmore, Beloit, and Coventry. You may already know this, but the paths are not officially owned by anybody, although the county could take ownership. And what the county wants to do is take ownership and transfer it to the KPPCSD, and which would become, of course, our community service district after consolidation. And the paths are 115 years old. They've not had any kind of maintenance in that time. Two of them have become blocked. And so it was a very positive response we got from KPPCSD, but I did have a director come to me and say, we're a little concerned about moving forward on this before consolidation. We just think, you know, we want broad community support for this. And my concern is we've got this money on the table from the county. We don't want to lose that. We don't know what could happen between now and consolidation. Also, this thing has been delayed before. We had, actually in 2012, the KPPCSD voted unanimously to move forward with acquisition of the paths, and then they got kind of diverted on other things and never got back to it, and nothing happened. And so I'm concerned. I don't really want a delay. And if we, what this resolution before us is proposing is just advisory to the KPPCSD, that we have support on our board for them to move forward with this. We think this is a good thing for them to do. And the argument I would make for not waiting for consolidation is that after consolidation takes place, we're gonna have a lot of really meaty issues to deal with, most importantly being, of course, the police building. And this is what we've heard in the past is, well, we've got other more important things to deal with, so we'll do this some other time. So the time, I think this would be an ideal time for the KPPCSD to move on this. And getting a vote from our board in support of this would, I think, give them a lot of comfort that they're in a good position to do so. I'm happy to take any questions anybody has.
Directors.
I believe in the spirit of this item, and I fully support it as a person who lives, who has a house that borders a path, but is not one of the three that's being acquired. I hope this starts a trend for more path acquisition. So thank you for bringing this to us.
No, you're very deliberative. I'm just entertained. Please.
I'm trying to hold myself back a little bit here. I will briefly channel my inner Anthony Knight and say, one, it's goddamn about time, and I can't wait to do the rest of them. And I say that as someone who's started walking those paths in 1966, joyously, for many years. So I very much support it, and look forward to the day when the whole path structure is actually redone. And I would stand on ceremony a little bit about gearing up to do the whole thing and getting community buy-in. But we have had unanimous support at boards before, and nothing has gotten done. So in part, I'm also channeling my inner Anthony Knight and saying, let's do this. Absolutely. Let's figure out how we make that work. Let's get ready. Let's get the community ready. to take on the whole system. Let's show the county that this can work. So I'm super supportive. It's going to cost a non-trivial amount of money to do what needs to be done and take a lot of legwork. And we should embrace that, frankly, but we have to start somewhere, and these three paths are a good start, so I support it.
And to be clear, your comments about a member of the public are entirely complimentary, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, my goodness.
Jim?
Yes, I'd like to, I too support this, but I'd like to hope that we can start with one particular aspect first. For many years, I would walk from my home at Grizzly Peak down to Colusa Circle on Sunday, go to the farmer's market, and walk back up. And I used these very paths. That was when I was younger. And coming up, the Beloit path there, which is probably 120 steps or so, was a nice challenge for me then. But I can tell you, I can probably do the going up part even today at my age, but I tried it just the other day to see about going down. And I have to admit, I was scared. It's an extremely steep path, and I was not going to go down there unless I had my walking sticks. So I would just hope that if we're going to do anything first, that we would get some sort of a hand rail installed on that path, because I think the safety, not just people my age, but others too, that could slip and fall on that steep path would be, I think, the most important thing that we should worry about if we're going to pick up these paths. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm guessing I can go next. You don't want to separately.
Mm-hmm. That is the intention of the Kensington Pathkeepers, to acquire all the paths, all of the paths. And this is the first step. And we want to show the community by acquiring these three paths that it really does work, that this is something that we can manage, but we are not going to be done.
I'm also supportive of this proposal. I'm going to say a bunch of boring cover my butt things to remind the community that these are recreational paths. They are not officially designated emergency evacuation routes. This board does not endorse them as official emergency evacuation routes. They are for recreational use only, and they are very fun and enjoyable. And I've walked up and down several of these paths with a baby strapped to my back, and it's a good workout. The other thing I just want to say, and I think this was clear from the meeting, so Berkeley, which also has many paths like this, has an organization similar to the Kensington Pathkeepers that are still very involved in the success of the Berkeley paths. And I just want to put out there that the Pathkeepers work is not done, even when when our local government acquires these paths. We're still going to need your help and support and potentially fundraising to be able to do all of the wonderful things that we would like to do, such as handrails and improving the accessibility of these paths and their state going forward. So like I said, I want to say all the boring things, which is, this is great, I love it. But as a practical matter, for putting on my local government hat, there's a couple of things that we just want to make sure that the community is aware of, and not that they're problems or in any way insurmountable or intractable, but there are still issues to do. This doesn't end once we get them, and there's still more stuff to be done, and it has to be part of Kensington's commitment going forward to consciously to make the paths a priority, or what was the point in the first place? Anyway, that's all I want to say. Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, it's clear. I just wanted to comment on the extensive material provided, which particularly for members of the public who may not have any insight into these issues around the paths, it's really worth going back through the history and the different analyses and what has made this a difficult issue for Kensington. It's a good solution, particularly although it's a, you know, inside baseball kind of thing. The recreational path piece of it is essential, right? It can never effectively be more than that. But it's also going to take, I think, a serious effort from the best of Kensington in terms of volunteers to make that system of paths. That's how Berkeley's done it. That's, you all have been doing it. But that's when I say we're going to have to show the county that this works. That's really, it is partly about money, but it's also about showing up for the paths. And this is something that we would have some control over and some agency in. You know, that's a better thing in a sense than we have with the park, where it's not ours to work on per se, but the paths are, and we can do something really good with that. So thank you for all the efforts that you put into it.
All right, Rodney, would you like to make a motion?
So when I make a motion, do I don't read the resolution, right?
Not the whole thing, no. You can say whatever you want.
Hey, I make a motion to accept the resolution 2025-05 of the supporting KPPCSD's plan to acquire three paths from Contra Costa County according to the parameters that are outlined in the resolution.
Second.
Public comment. There's a comment on the Zoom. Paul Moss. Go for it.
Hey, can you hear me now?
Yes.
I'd just like to know if this board or any Kensington organization can, I'm hoping they can see the advantage of these paths as evacuation paths. Not now, I understand. I can just sit here and think of a lot of reasons why at this point you can't do that. But to eliminate any way out of Kensington as a possibility of an evacuation plan seems really irresponsible to me. We're so limited that I just wouldn't exclude that in the future. And what I don't know and admit it is what steps would have to be addressed, what things would have to be addressed for evacuation once Kensington acquires the ownership. But to limit it in the future for just recreational purposes, I think that is not looking at the possible advantage of having those as at least recommended evacuation paths. I mean, use at your own risk time kind of thing. I fully understand what Jim said before. I'm aware of that. I could see that too, but there are a lot of people that could use it and could reduce evacuation traffic by other routes, by vehicle or foot.
Thank you, Paul. To be clear, if they're recreational, you can use them however you see fit in a recreative activity, such as hypothetically fleeing a fire. but they won't be endorsed as an evacuation route from official directive in their state now, potentially unmakeable. Some, like Beloit Path, is pretty steep. I don't know what's involved in making it happen. Certainly it needs to be ADA accessible if it's an officially government-sponsored designated evacuation route, because you can't have an evacuation route that only works for some people. But you may use them however you want in such time that you may want to recreate. Lisa? There's another comment on the... I'm going to put your hand down, Paul, please.
Oh.
Hi, thank you so much. I just want to, first of all, thank you all for being so supportive of these paths that we've worked on for decades and decades and hundreds of years for the others before us. I do want to say that I think it's important for the KPPSD to know that you are all in support of the concept of moving forward on these. I think it's a dramatic step for them to feel more confident about moving forward. And I also just want to say, when we talk to the county, you know, you are correct. We cannot call them evacuation routes, but we can say they are options for evacuation for those who are able. Even though, you know, we cannot call them a technical route. And Berkeley actually has the paths in their evacuation plan with those caveats about for those who are able. So, you know, there is kind of it's kind of a mid zone of what is possible. And to Jim's comments, I mean, the more we can put handrails on all these paths for everybody's use is definitely, I think, a priority for the people who've been looking at these. So thank you very much.
All right. Any other public comment?
Can I ask if the letter I wrote got read aloud?
Oh, shoot. That's an excellent question. Well, I didn't. Sorry, you're right. You sent it to the right email address and everything. I apologize.
Yeah, how about you just read it out loud, because I'm really tired. I just got out of a meeting for an hour.
I'm fine with it.
You finish that.
Or if you want more... me to read it, I'll read it
one
from
sec,
the email.
Yes. Can we finish? Are we done with the paths and public comments?
This is
everything
for the
else?
Paths. This is a comment about the paths.
Oh, I'm mistaking it with the other comment.
Yep.
Sorry.
Technically, we have this rule that says that if you're here, you have to say it yourself, but I think that's an ADA problem in itself. I'm happy to read it if you want.
Have it.
I do. There you go.
Excuse me being informal previously. This is Cassandra Duggan, KPP CSD Director. Dear Fire Board Directors and General Manager, I urge you to approve Resolution 2025-05 in support of the plan that the Kensington Pathkeepers and John Gioia hammered out to enable acquisition of three of our beautiful and useful Kensington paths by the KPPCSD, soon to be KCSD, Consolidated Board. I greatly appreciate Director Rodney Paul putting this resolution before the KFPD to allow this board to document its reaction to the current Kensington Paths proposal. I'm proud of the plan that the Kensington Pathkeepers, John Gioia, David Aranda, and I have created that will provide generous county support to Kensington to help it take over these paths. We have checked with the KPPCSD's insurance provider, who assured us that the district's insurance costs would at most go up slightly after we acquire the paths. So they will be covered by the special district's insurance. We conceived this plan as a
TV
with only.
Very good. Me too. I'm almost done.
Lisa,
can you mute yourself?
We conceived this plan as a test case with only three of the paths so that we can observe whether it's a workable plan and go forward with acquiring more of the paths if it is. That's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have a motion on the table. Thank you. Unless there's any other public comment, let me double check now that I got my computer back. Seeing none, all in favor? Aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Moving on to, where are we? Ah, yes, approval of temporary fire station decommission costs. Mary.
Okay. As we had talked about previously, we have the temporary fire station that we need to remove and repave the parking lot for the UUCB. And we had a hopeful buyer or transfer agency that might need a temporary garage apparatus bay that's going through a similar project, but in looking at all the permitting requirements and timing of getting their space available to be able to utilize that structure, it just wouldn't work with our timing, unfortunately. So we're down to the point of we've been coordinating with utilities to disconnect services, and we have received a handful of bids and quotes for the deconstruction of the garage and removal, asphalt repair, seal coat, removal, disposal of surplus, removal of deck portable, the fence removal around the entire structure, the utilities that I just referenced, and some contingency in case some of these bids come in higher, for a total cost of $96,500 to get rid of that structure and repave and return the parking lot to the church. So I'm looking for approval of those costs and to make the appropriate budget adjustment to be able to proceed with that.
Quick clarification, Mary. I seem to recall from the consent calendar, there's like $18,000 left in the building budget. Does that go toward this, or is that in addition to 96 in addition to?
So that's, yeah, that's separate because I know I still have a couple of legal costs and some other invoices that we need to clear out too.
Okay, so we think that those 18K are spoken for.
I hope not, but like, I don't want to obligate. And we think these costs are on the higher end, so I think we'll be able to come in under this, but we want to allow for it.
Great, thank you.
And we did just, I put in here, we did end last fiscal year approximately $200,000 more favorably, so at least that we have additional funds that we hadn't anticipated having to be able to complete this.
That's great. All right, directors? In that case, is there a motion to move forward? I move that we approve the temporary fire station decommission costs as outlined in the board packet.
Second.
Public comment. And on the Zoom, seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. We are, that completes our business. Committee reports. We already did two of them because one has no report. Emergency Preparedness Committee report. Anything you want to specifically call out?
Pretty much with our last meeting, we went over and confirmed our subcommittees and then began discussing having everyone put together some goals and timelines for how they want to start achieving their work plans. And so there was some discussion. A lot of it was updates by Johnny about what's going on and how he could support us moving forward with these work goal plans. And so the next meeting in a week and a day will be actually hearing the first reports from the committees, subcommittees, and how they're going to start moving forward. So it should be pretty exciting, and hopefully we get some timelines.
That's good. Roddy, anything to add?
No, we've really got some great groups working on these things. So
great.
I'm very encouraged by the progress.
Awesome. We have met multiple times already.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So much. I love the energy being channeled into exciting ways forward. Directors, any questions or comments on the EPC report? Public comment. Paul, can you mute yourself? Thank you. Seeing none, that brings us to the end of the agenda because there's no Finance Committee report and there's no Contra Costa Special District report. So with that, the next regular meeting of the Board of Directors of the Kensington Fire Protection District will be held on Wednesday, May 21st, 2025 at 7 p.m. in the Kensington Community Center. Deadline for the board packet is May 7th and board packet materials May 14th. Thank you all and have a nice night.